everybody. Welcome to Monsters Lounge. My name is Jenny.
And Tressa. Hello. Oh, hi.
I don't know. We just messed that part up. We should maybe talk about that at some point.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, during our intro, one of those pictures has lounge on it. And I start off every episode with trying to say that in my head.
No, it's
so
fine.
So check it out. It's pretty good. That's our show.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Tressa, I get to learn a lot tonight, which makes me very, very pleased because this is a subject that I'm not even close to fully grasping or understanding. Even the idea and the concept is pretty far away from me. But our guest tonight is on top of it.
Yeah, he is.
So our guest tonight is an author, a researcher, and filmmaker. He's been on a ton of TV shows, Ancient Aliens, The Unexplained, Alaska Triangle, and Fright Club. He wrote A Walk in the Shadows, Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, which is going to be the next thing that I order and then read. And his newest is Travels Through Time. He's also built up a whole community. He's got a whole thing going on and courses too, right? So I sent this to you earlier, but it looks super interesting. ConnectedUniversePortal.com. So won't you please help me welcome Mike Ricksek.
Yay!
Yay!
Hi, okay. Jenny and Tressa. Thanks so much for having me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for being on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is a very, very exciting episode, and I think we should probably just get right into it.
Okay,
please.
All right. First thing that I would like to know about is this concept of stacked time.
Okay, yeah, we're diving right into it. So stacked time, or what I call stacked time theory. You have to kind of take a step back before we get to that and in understanding exactly what time is, which is really just a human construct. It's something that we have developed to try to, you know, keep track of our reality, to, you know when the seasons are, when to plant crops, when to show up at the bus stop at the right moment, or to our job at the right moment so that our supervisors don't get upset with us, that sort of thing. It's not anything the universe created. It's something we have created. And really what it is it's the fourth dimension, is what we call time. And that's where our consciousness resides, which is an interesting thing because our fourth dimensional consciousness is inside a three dimensional body. We have access to all the dimensions that are below us, third, second, first. And well, there is a controversial zero point. We won't get into that. But there are up to 11 hyperspatial dimensions. So you have all of these other dimensions above us. So when we talk time, we have that analogy, the river of time. And it's a pretty good analogy, but it's not the water in that river, which is, I mean, that's the time is the river itself, but it's not the water that makes itself flow. It's the banks that are holding the water in place. If you were to remove those banks, which is really the control system that we're stuck in here, if you were to remove those banks and all that water would spill out and be like a giant pond or a lake or something like that, it would be stagnant. It wouldn't be moving at all. And you could move about at will. And so that is what time, the fourth dimension, would look like to anybody else, any other being that are in those other dimensions beyond us, fifth, sixth, seventh, and so forth. So that tells us that all time is right here, right now, all concurrent. So take where you're sitting right now. Every moment that, you know, past, present, future, it's all there. Each moment like a photograph in a giant stack of photographs. Each of those has their own, because everything's energy, frequency, resonance, vibration. Each of those moments has their own frequency. And when we start looking at elements of real time travel, that would be two of those moments resonating at the same frequency for just a moment, being able to interact with each other, being able to move in and about from each other. Or when we get into the concepts of time slips and what have you, is two of those moments resonate the same frequency for just a moment. And then suddenly it's gone. So that's, in a nutshell, stack time theory.
I just want to say real quick, I'm going to have a hard time just not grinning like an idiot this whole episode. I'm so excited for this.
You said you really enjoy the concepts of time travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas and my face when I'm trying to figure it out is like, what?
That's all good.
Is there like a spectrum then, like with the frequencies, and the meeting up at certain points, like are they changing frequencies, or like how did two points meet up at the same frequency? Is each stack sort of navigating up and down frequency bar?
Yeah. So like each moment would have its own frequency, which is what keeps us from typically diving into others. If we were able to, just like a radio, be able to turn the dial and tune into all these, we would have free rein up and down the stack of time. So what I was, you know, the analogy before, the banks of the river. So that's a rule set. It's a control system that's been put in place to keep us essentially like moving up the stack. You know, each moment is another photo, you know, dumped on top of the stack. And so we're kind of caught in this, this control system keeping us moving up the stack. But, you know, there are those weird moments. We're not really sure what the catalyst is. Again, if we knew what the catalyst is, we'd be able to do it at will. Yeah. But there are those moments where two of those moments can just tune into the same frequency for just a moment. And I do believe that real time travel will have to do more with the consciousness in being able to consciously adjust our attunement to those frequencies so that we would be able to experience those other moments at will. That would take a high degree of concentration. I believe it has, you know, to do with meditation and being able to, you know, set that intention, hit that meditative state and tune into those other frequencies to be able to go visit those other moments in time.
It's wild because we have been talking to so many different people, like across, you know, if you scope out this paranormal world, right, like across the, I'm going to use the word spectrum again, of paranormal genres and, you know, interests, et cetera, categories. And so many people say like the key to half of this is meditation and focusing your brain. And it's just, I don't know, it's coming into being interested in the paranormal, that's not something that I originally would have thought, right? Like, oh, all of this stuff has to do with meditation and opening your brain. But
it's almost we're stuck in this physical world that is not entirely what we should be stuck in.
Our consciousness. You're right. The third dimension, this is where we are at right now. But again, our consciousness inside us is actually on the fourth dimension. So when we lose the body, you know, it's a three-dimensional object when we pass away, that's gone. But our consciousness is still there. And so even science is finally starting to come around and talking about this. Stuart Hameroff and Roger Penrose in some different studies here in recent years they do say that consciousness is real, that the consciousness is in the body. They talk about, their theory is that it's stored within the microtubules inside the brain and this sort of thing. But they have said, you know, scientifically, that when the body dies, the consciousness goes off to the cosmos. Now, they don't say where. That kind of gets into the idea of, okay, you know, where do we go when we die? It kind of, you know, gets into that religious realm. But it doesn't have to, though. But so they've kind of shied away from where it goes. But science is saying, yeah, there's a consciousness and it does go somewhere after death. We just don't know where it goes. I would postulate that it goes to either one of these other dimensions, 5, 6, 7 or beyond. Or it might even be outside of all of that. If we get into the idea of like the simulated universe, it could even be outside of what we call those 11 dimensions. But to me, it answers a lot of those questions about, you know, we experience ghosts and spirits and these sorts of things. That, like, I just use an example of my grandfather when he passed away. He stuck around for a while. You know, other people, other family members had seen him, interacted with him, this sort of thing. And then when my grandmother passed away, grandpa wasn't around any longer. So it's like his consciousness, his spirit, his whatever you want to call it, his soul stuck around for a while until my grandmother passed. So he decided to stay here in the fourth dimension until finally she lost the third dimensional body. Her consciousness was around. And then they went off to where, right? Again, I think it's going to be one of these other dimensions or outside of all of that.
Well, I just really like that theory to begin with. But does this have anything to do with this idea of like past lives or reincarnation of things. Like, can it be, do you like how I ask you questions like you're going to have a definitive answer? Can it be that it goes, you know, if it's just this consciousness and it's not bound by these constraints really of time, mm-hmm. it could just go back and you could be living a life back then or living a life in the future.
Well, here's the thing. So when it comes to stack time theory, and this was something I had to work out for a while because stack time was something, was a concept that I had been working on for a good 20 years. And I also believed in reincarnation and past lives because I had seen and experienced some different things over the years that I knew was from a past life. I had witnessed one time a past death, which was really kind of crazy to observe that. So I had to reconcile those two things. Well, stack time theory does take that into account, actually. If we also include the concept that we are in a simulated universe, doesn't have to be a computer. I believe it's something more organic and biological. But really, we're talking a projection from whatever that world is outside into this universe. And so with stacked time, that would mean that you would have multiple projections of your consciousness into these different places within the stack. So when you go to a location and it just suddenly seems very, very familiar to you, we talk about sometimes, oh, maybe we had a past life there. Well, yeah, that could very well be. And if you have a past life, you have had a past life there, it would actually mean that you are there right now. If all time is concurrent, that would mean your consciousness, your past life is there with you right there at that moment, just maybe in 1870 rather than 2024.
So you're saying that we could very well have fractured pieces of our soul in different times at all times.
Right. Yeah. And I don't necessarily view it as being fractured. I believe it.
Yeah, that's
it's more of like being plugged into multiple locations at the same time. Like, kind of think of, if we do want to use a computer analogy, think of having your 5 different windows, 10, 20 different windows of a web browser open. You are connected to all of those locations at once.
Wow. All right.
I'm
going to
need a minute.
Yeah, no. And then there's just silence for us to absorb all of those things.
Fine.
So I know that that's kind of like this. Well, I don't know. I'm assuming that's sort of the theory behind like doppelgangers.
Yeah. So doppelgangers, I believe, are more of time slips.
Okay.
So yeah, doppelganger is just, you know, German word means double walker. It's gotten attributed to a lot of these ideas of evil twins or spirit that's trying to mimic you and these sorts of things. But I'm going to use an example here real quick. Story time, tell a story.
Yay!
Yay!
So the famous poet Goethe, he's a German poet, 18th century, and he actually wrote about this true incident that happened to him in his book Dichtung und Wahrheit, or Poetry and Truth in English. And basically what the story is he was walking down the road to Drusenheim one day. He was having an affair with a young woman in town, and he was lost in his thoughts, kind of thinking about the situation. And all of a sudden he notices walking on the other side of the road, this man in a gold-trimmed gray suit. And so he turns to get a better look at the guy, because, you know, the suit is very noticeable, turns to get a look at him, and all of a sudden, poof, the guy just disappears. Like, man, what the heck was that? I have no idea what happened to the guy. There's nothing he can really do about it because the guy's totally disappeared. But, you know, he notes it. He's like, that was kind of crazy. So a couple years, and he continues on to Drusenheim. A couple years later, he's walking from Drusenheim in the opposite direction on the same road. And he's getting to about that spot on the road where he had that incident. And as he remembers, oh yeah, this was where I saw that guy. And oh, he looks down and realizes, wait a minute, I was the guy in the gold trim gray suit. I'm actually wearing it right now. I saw myself. So if you go and you just Google, you know, famous doppelganger cases, this is on like all of those lists, but it's not really a doppelganger case. Yes, he saw himself, but it really was himself. It wasn't some spirit trying to mimic him or any of these other weird things. It was himself at another point in time. This was a time slip type of incident. So then the question becomes, okay, what was the catalyst? And so we have to go back to the beginning of the story when he said he was lost in his thoughts. It's a type of meditative state. We do this sort of thing all the time. Like we'll be driving down the road. We zone out, lost in our thoughts, and we miss our turn. We miss our exit. Oh man, I turn around and go back. It's a type of meditative state. It's not a full meditative state. You don't want to be in a full meditative state while you're driving. You crash the car, you know, which is not good.
Unless you really like to live.
Yeah. But it is a type of meditative state, which he was in. And I believe what happened is while he was in that meditative state, he was able to tune into his own frequency on that road into the future and got a glimpse of it. And once he diverted his attention to it, he broke that meditative state and the image disappeared.
Oh, I love this. I'm going to wander around just being lost in my thoughts all over the place.
There you go.
Just in case.
Just in case you see what you tune into.
What's that jerk wearing in the future? Come on.
We'll find out. That might be too terrifying. Like, well,
am I making
frankly.
Good style choices?
Oh. Like, what is happening with my hair?
Why are you wearing
hair? Oh, Monica was not the way to go.
Oh.
Just kidding. It's always the way to go.
Yes, thank you.
It's always the way to go.
I want to ask a question about another.
Oh, my God.
There was another instance in your book about a teacher. And I'd heard the story before. Mm-hmm. I think she was French. But I'm a little confused as to why her time slip or whatever, it moved a little bit different, a little bit slower, a little bit just off. How is the energy, like, explain things to me.
Yeah, Emily Sage, her name was Emily Sage. She had a lot of different things going on. And the way I kind of posted her was she was kind of unstuck in time. She had some incidents there where it was almost like a projection for one. It depended on what the situation was. So there would be times where she would be in one room in the building, and all of a sudden people would see her maybe walking up and down the stairs. But in one particular case, she was out in the garden, and all of a sudden she appears in this chair before everybody. And they could see her looking out the window. She's out in the garden. She's in the chair. What's going on here? But the image of her out in the garden, like, really, really slowed down. Like, it took some energy or something to make this manifestation happen. Other times, like one of the classroom incidents, she's getting very, very, animated with her lesson on the board. She was like really, really getting into it. And all of a sudden there was another image of her right next to herself. She's writing this stuff up on the board with the chalk, and the other image next to her, it was still doing the exact same motions, just not holding the chalk. But that makes sense because, if it's her energy that's being projected out like that, well, she's not going to duplicate the chalk because the chalk isn't her, but herself is there. And so I've called that interdimensional phasing. It's a phase shift of herself, of her energy. And that happened several times. Like, she was helping a girl, a young woman with a dress, getting her ready for a garden party that was going on. All of a sudden, kind of the same thing happened where her energy shifted. And so there's her physically, and then there's another immature of her next to her. So she had a lot of different things going on with her energy, her consciousness, and some of them were time related, and some of them were just really interesting interdimensional occurrences, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, they didn't seem like a lot of time stuff, but a lot of that's not time, that's interdimensional.
Right. Which is all related. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. But it was just so different from most of the time slip experiences that I've read about that it was very interesting.
I couldn't get rid of the image of her writing things on the chalkboard and then the projection of her just erasing things as she went. It was like a gotcha.
Yeah. That would be funny. Yeah.
Like an interdimensional prank. I know you get into, this is sort of a drastic shift in topics, but I know that in the book, you sort of get into UFO mm-hmm. abductions and the loss of time.
Right.
Can you go into that? How is that different? Because it's not like a time slip.
No, but time works differently in different dimensions, because really you're being taken outside of time. So, you know, you're going to have some time loss occurrences in which they, you know, you're just like getting physically knocked out and they're working on kind of like, you know, when you go in for surgery and they gas you or whatever, or, you know, they use the drip and you're just out and you wake up, you have no idea how much time has passed. You know, you to you, it's like 5 minutes, but, you know, it's probably been a few hours. So there's that. But there are other times where, you know, people are fully cognizant of what is going on. And to them, it seems like it has just been 5 minutes while totally being awake, but it's really been, you know, hours that have passed. And we see that in UFO abduction scenarios. We see that in our history when people would get lost in the fairy realm. You know, I believe that those types of ETs, or they could be interdimensional beings, I think the lore of fairies and other types of beings, they didn't know what they were dealing with. So it, you know, got attributed to this different lore. And I think that those people were being taken into some other dimension somewhere where, again, all those above hours, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, time, they're outside of the scope of time. So time is going to, what we conceive as time, is going to work very, very differently for them there. In the Alaska's Mysterious Triangle, I talk about a young boy who, all of a sudden, there's hunters around on this mountain. All of a sudden, this boy just shows up out of nowhere. There's snow on the ground. There's no tracks around him at all. This is actually reported in the Anchorage Daily News. Where did this boy come from? And so he told this fascinating story of how there were these little people called the Irshinhat, and they had taken him inside Pilcher Mountain. And time worked differently for him there. There was supposed to be a young girl that was there who had been there for like 40 years. She was still a young girl. So, you know, it's interesting stories like that to tell us that there are these other, they're calling them like realms, but really I believe it's another dimension where they're being, that's where they're being taken to. Maybe it's through some sort of portal or something like that. Time works differently there. So when they come back, that's why it seems so off. And that's where we have those time loss incidents.
I was very interested in that because folklore and fairies and all of that stuff. I mean, I grew up with that. And I think we are going to take a real quick break. But after that, I need somebody to explain to me what a portal is.
Okay, my little darklings. I know. Just by looking at me, you think that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right. So I understand the basics, portals like take you to other dimensions and things like that. But how does that fit in with time travel, all of these things?
Yeah, a portal is really just like a gateway, a doorway, Stargate. It's a passageway that can take you to another location. So it can take you to another dimension. It can take you to another point in time. We have portals that are right outside of Earth. NASA calls them X points, and they do admit, yes, these are a type of portal. They've even sent satellites up there to research these things, and they're opening and closing at different rates of speed, different times of day. Well, they're in space, so it's not really day. It's
writing it down yeah. right now.
Right, different sizes. There's no rhyme or reason. It's basically what an X point is. Is where the it's where the Earth's magnetic protection or magnetic shield meets with the solar winds, and when those two hit, there are these different what we're calling portals that are opening and closing. And when they open, it allows the solar wind to get to the Earth faster. But again, they haven't been able to figure out any pattern whatsoever to when they're opening, how big they're going to open, that sort of thing. So those in themselves are essentially gateways to for the solar wind to get to the Earth faster. So for our purposes, when we're talking portal, could be a way for, we talk like wormhole, Stargate, that sort of thing, could be a way for us to get to another point in the cosmos faster. It could be a way for us to get to another dimension. There's a lot of different possibilities, even other places on Earth. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, this really, you know, far-flung concept. It could just simply be to another place here.
So in your opinion, that is representative of, not representative, but that's what we're kind of talking about when we're talking about like the Fae and other, those sort of time lapses. From what you believe, like the UFO travel, that sort of deal, is that via like these portals, or is that something that's time related?
Yeah. So here's the thing. We want like one single answer for everything. Okay. Tell me where the UFOs are coming from.
Yes,
where are
I would like an from? Answer. Yeah,
you want one.
Please tell me exactly. And then tell me how to build one.
There, yeah.
Yes. What's going on?
The problem is, exactly. The problem is there's not one single answer. And that is, I believe, what is screwing everybody up. We see a UFO in the sky, and so where's that coming from? And then if we were actually able to figure that out, then say, okay, well, that's where they're all coming from. No.
Yeah.
No. So you have some There's multiple answers for this. So you have some that, yes, are truly extraterrestrials that have built a craft that have come here from another planet, from somewhere else in the cosmos to here. I don't believe it. It's would be really hard to conceive that they were using Newtonian physics to do that. You know, basically the way we do things, you know, shoot ourselves up into space. I believe they've probably figured out, you know, how to access wormholes, use an Einstein-Rosen bridge, that sort of thing. So, you know, all those things are on the table. You know, I believe that some of them are really what we'd call an ultra-terrestrial, something that is already here, that is living here on the planet with us, that is in another dimension that we don't normally see and interact with, but sometimes they are able to move in and out of our dimension. We get a glimpse of them. That's why some of these things that we see in the sky just suddenly disappear. You know, where did it go? It's because it slipped back into that other dimension. Some of these are going to be time travelers. And there's a whole faction of the ufology community that has just basically like put their foot down and said, none of these are extraterrestrials. They're all just us from the future. They're all time travelers. And I shrug my shoulders and say, well, okay, yeah, sure. Yes, they can absolutely be time travelers. Doesn't necessarily mean it's us. Yeah, no. Certainly not all of them. And it doesn't mean that they're us. It could be, but, mm-hmm. you know, the Earth right now is 4.5 billion years old. We're going to be around for about
another... I'm pretty sure it's only like 6,000, but okay, go ahead.
I try to tell it differently, but...
Okay. We, according to our science, we're supposed to have another 5 billion years left. So we're kind of like right in the middle of our existence as a planet. But humans, like Homo sapiens sapiens, our oldest bones that we have found of our species, go back about 315,000 years. It's not that long in the Earth's history that we've actually been here. You know, the dinosaurs went extinct 64 million years ago. Well, that's just over 1% of the entire lifespan of the Earth. So you think 64 million years down the road, are we even still going to be here? Or will like a new species, like maybe it's a different type of dinosaur or something that rises up? We don't know. But, you know, conceivably us being here, I don't know. So it could very well be another species that has, you know, grown here on the planet, you know, evolved, you know, became intelligent, developed civilization, developed spacefaring, became a spacefaring race, developed time travel technology. So it could be another intelligent life form on Earth. Could even be, you know, again, millions of years from now, an extraterrestrial civilization that has come down here to our planet, and maybe they're colonizing it, developed the technology to be able to time travel and has gone back. So you have all these different possibilities on the table. It doesn't necessarily have to be us that are the time travelers. Could be, but there's a lot of other possibilities on the table.
Yeah, I like the idea
so much.
The idea that something so broad in the paranormal world, just like ghosts, spirits, and UFOs and everything, the idea that that's just one thing in that one huge yeah. spectrum is so ridiculous to me. It could be dozens of different, hundreds, who we don't know. Ghosts could be so many different things.
It UFOs. Can be. So I've done a lot of work on shadow people, and I have people that contact me all the time. Okay, what's a shadow person? Or I get on a show like this, what's a shadow person? It's like, well, you know, I have a whole book going into that because they are a lot of different things depending on the particular shadow. So yeah, some are human spirits that can't fully manifest as an apparition. You have some that are interdimensional beings. You have some that are extraterrestrials. You have some that are time slips. Some can be time travelers. So they could be astral projections. You have all these different things on the table. So that's where you got to put on your investigator's hat and actually get to work and figure out what it is, rather than just saying, I have this idea that it's this, and so that's going to blanket answer everything.
No. Yes, the blanket answer makes me crazy. Look,
I know, but it's very comforting.
Just because they're a jerk doesn't mean it's a demon. It's fine.
Sometimes, right, exactly.
Sometimes people are just jerks.
That's right. You have jerk human spirits. Absolutely.
Yes. You have jerk human spirits.
I've had people contact me and say, I have a demon in my house. What do I do? I said, well, let's step back a bit. Why do you think you have a demon in your house?
First of all.
Well, a candle flew off my mantle. That's her whole definition of that's why there's a demon in their house. Okay, well, calm down.
How many probably not a demon. How many of your past relatives hated that candle? That's all I'm saying.
Right?
Come on.
That I think candle was terrible. Yeah. We had even heard that from, it was a Catholic priest that I was listening to a lecture. She was at a paranormal conference last year, and she was talking about the amount of people who reach out to her for like things like exorcisms, and she does the exact same thing. She's like, all right, let's take a step back.
Yeah. 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 And you have to. So, yeah, guys, put on our thinking caps here and just take a look at it objectively. Yeah.
I mean, even, all right, I could go on and on about how we don't need to make everything one thing.
Right.
Agreed. I feel that way in the cryptid community as well. Quite honestly, not everything's got to be one thing. It's okay. We'll have different things because you don't really know. Yeah.
I got to ask Tressa, what kind of wine are you drinking?
Oh, just some garbage my mom had because I'm at her house.
Oh. No, I have to ask because I'm a little bit of a wine connoisseur. Like, I actually make my own wine.
Oh,
I do.
All right. Yeah. So you learn and research about time travel and mm-hmm. dimensions, and then you're like, you know what? I'm gonna calm down with a little bit of winemaking.
You gotta have a hobby. Gotta have a hobby in there somewhere. Time wine. Wow, there you go. Yeah.
We'll talk later. We can do some marketing for you.
We go.
We would dumpster dive for rotten fruits and then make wine out of that in college. It was great. It wasn't great.
This past Tressa, I have so many questions. Let's get some sort of time slip going on so we can ask her.
So
it's conceivable that perhaps there are entities who have managed to harness the ability to alter frequencies so that they can slip in and out of time. Is that something that I'm just making up, or is
no?
That
I believe people have figured this out. I believe we have time travelers right now, and that's why there are things that come up where we talk the Mandela effect. Actually, I'm going to be talking about that on my podcast tomorrow, where there are things that people remember, like large amounts of people remember something being different in the past. But you look at it now, you can Google it and all that, and no, that's not the way it is. And you have all these people that are, no. I remember this differently. So something in the timeline, you know, has been changed. And so a lot of it, I do believe some of it is we're misremembering the way some branding was and all that sort of thing. I don't think there are time travelers going back to change how Fruit Loops was spelled or anything. Yeah, that'd be a little trivial. That would be pretty trivial to do that. But, you know, a time traveler going back inadvertently making a change, you have those ripple effects. So it could be something else that, and maybe they intentionally change it, but you know, it could even be like an accidental, you know, they stepped into the street, which, you know, the car had to brake and prevented that car from getting to wherever on time. And, you know, you have the whole ripple effect or the butterfly effect after that, that, you know, over the course of time, those changes would have occurred. So they didn't intentionally go back to change it, but that's what ended up happening. So you have those repercussions throughout the timeline.
Let me ask you a question real quick. So Mandela effect, I'm in camp. It's mostly adults who remember things differently as children, and children are idiots.
This is, by the way, a show for children.
That's correct. I'm also starting to hear a theory where it's like, well, maybe there's some sort of faction that wants you to get used to the idea of misremembering things. So if you do remember something and it's not the same, just don't trust your own memory. Just keep going.
Right.
It's just your memory is off.
Well, I'll say this. It's not all just we as adults now misremembering things as when we were kids. There are older adults who were adults back then that are remembering these things that way too. I mean, one of the examples that I give in the book with the Mandela effect. And you won't find it on any of those, you know, lists of top 10, top 20, top 50 Mandela effect events. But it involved myself. Yes, I was a kid at the time, but my mother wasn't. And these other people that had also remembered this, it did have to do with pop culture, it did have to do with the movie. But all these other people from around the world also remembered it the same exact way my mother and I did, you know, and so it was really, really uncanny. Yeah, it's I get what you're saying, though.
And when I say that, I don't mean that it's a blanket statement for sure, but I don't mean that for every single instance. I don't fully think that every instance is children are idiots, but a lot of them are.
That's well, again, some of them, some of it's going to be that, some of it's going to be that, you know, we are misremembering some of these things, like a lot of the branding stuff, again, right, like the spelling of Fruit Loops or Berenstain Bears or what's another, Oscar Mayer. I mean, come on, we had a jingle spelling it, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. But some of them are legitimate. Some of them are truly legitimate, yeah.
Yeah, my mom and I had the same thing, and we can't figure out what it is, but it was Rodin's The Thinker. That's one of them where, like, the fist is like...
Oh, yeah.
Shaped in a different, different position. Also, by the way, when you were talking about the ripple effect on that, I was 1,000% thinking somewhere an alien or... one of us or whatever they are went back into time and like sneezed and like that was the difference between that's where my brain went. You're welcome. Also, we're getting a lot of complaints from children. They're very upset with you for calling them idiots. By the way,
that's fine. I don't care. I'm smarter than children. That's fine.
Well, what's interesting though is sometimes people try to put rules on a lot of these different things. Like when we talk about like the ideas of the multiverse, that every time somebody makes a decision that, you know, it creates a whole nother universe. And so there's like infinite numbers of these universes that are out there. Now, our actual physics, our theoretical physics has shown us that, well, there are multiple physical universes out there. It's not just us, but in these other universes are going to have different chemical makeups and different nuclear properties and all this other stuff. Okay, great. But as far as like, you know, spinning off all these different things. So that would mean right now when I'm going to choose to take a sip of this water. So according to that theory, that just spun off a whole nother universe. There's one universe there where I didn't take a sip of water and one universe in which I did. So that creates like an infinite number of universes, which is kind of hard to wrap your head around. Like every single look, because we make thousands of those types of decisions every day. So then some people have said, well, it's like the bigger things, you know, the bigger things that happen, like, you know, when you get married or you take on a new job or make a decision to buy this house or move to another town. Okay, well, with some, you know, decisions that might be, you know, small for me are actually like big for another person. So where, for example, I mentioned something about crossing the street before. Well, okay, crossing the street is not a big decision for me, but perhaps that car that stopped, if they would have kept going, maybe they got into an accident further down the street and me crossing the street in front of them prevented that from happening. It's a big thing for that car, but not for me. So how do you create these different rules? That doesn't make sense either.
Yes, because so, everything
we're
is
dealing with some heavy stuff here.
Yeah, we're really going into it.
Thank you.
Told you. Get right into it. Guys, I'm going to make so many universes right now.
Oh, no, Jenny, no.
So many universes. Look, there's another one.
No, that
was
terrible.
I know.
But there is one where, okay, so I mentioned having all the different physical universes, but there is one that I have been really, really interested here lately, last several years. And I do get into a bit of this research in the book. And that is where our research down in Antarctica, and these are the scientists saying this, with the neutrino research that they've been doing down there, where they have found neutrinos working backwards without a source. So they, the scientists, have said this is indicative of a parallel universe running in reverse time. And so that is when, and it's not just because science says it, but we find in our ancient symbolism, you know, the idea of duality, ancient Hermeticism, as above, so below. You know, if we had two parallel universes running in reverse time, well, that is that that coincides with that philosophy that's been passed down from the ancients for thousands of years. So that is one where I'm like, all right, I can get on board with that one. And oh, by the way, if there's a parallel universe running in reverse time, that doesn't mean that we're the universe running forwards. How arrogant of us.
What is
we can be running backwards.
I need so much more information. I forgot about that part of the book, and now I'm like, how and where did they start, and where is it? This
it's a constant recurring cycle. So their beginning is our end, and our end is their beginning. Alpha and the Omega, and all that symbolism is in there, and that's where I use the symbolism of the Ouroboros in there. That symbol of constant recycle and renewal. And I believe that that point there in that symbolism where the snake's head is eating the tail, I believe that's indicative of the Big Bang. And so the question is, what was before the universe? The universe. What's going to come after the universe? The universe. Constant recycle, renewal.
So let me, because I have to slow it down in order for my brain to sort of grasp this idea of something running in reverse time. So their or our ending would be like sort of, and I'll use the Big Bang idea there, that we end in a Big Bang, but another universe begins with it. Is that, someone explain it to me.
Yeah, so basically when our universe is no more, when it's destroyed, it re-explodes into, so you have, so this is where even our physicists argue about the universe, about how it's going to end. A lot of them say, well, it's just going to keep expanding until it's nothing. Except we just had a scientific, basically it was the James Webb telescope and the Hubble telescope together, looking at different parts of the outer edges of our known universe. And they've now found out that it's expanding at different rates. It's not even equal. So they were not expecting that. how is it expanding at different rates? So what we know about the universe, we don't know.
We don't know anything.
We don't know anything. But you have a lot of theoretical physicists that say, well, what'll happen is after you have that expansion, it's going to contract back in on itself. And then, like I said, have that explosion again. So when the universe has expanded out, then gravity is essentially going to pull it all back in on itself and re-explode, and boom, then we have the Big Bang again. And so that's the cyclical universe. And I believe that that's what that symbolism is telling us. I believe the ancients knew these things, and they were giving us clues from our distant past, and we've forgotten about it over the ages.
Can I make a very dumb, maybe analogy to that? Like spiritually, like you need to destroy something in order to make something better, in order to like grow and like expand your own existence. You need to destroy the thing that was and not serving you at all. And I feel like that's what I'm thinking about when I hear like the time is going forward and backwards in two simultaneous places. Okay, go ahead, Jenny. It doesn't make sense, or am I just talking on my ass? It's fine.
It makes sense in my brain because growth, any sort of growth comes from pain or a difficult time, right? I don't know that I would say necessarily an explosion or exploding the old thing, but whatever, we build on.
No, you need dynamite and. Explosions and fireworks.
You need complete catastrophe.
Yes. Jenny, come on. We're evolved.
So some people would say iron sharpens iron. Truss is going to say that dynamite sharpens dynamite.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. You just gave her next t-shirt idea. I'll be hearing about this for months. I know you mentioned, you know, the symbolism in circles and things within ancient cultures, and that they're pretty much universal, right? Is that what is sort of referenced? Is that what that's going for?
Like, I believe that that's one of the many things that symbol is representing. You know, the Ouroboros, it's our oldest alchemical symbol. You know, it's symbolizing the renewal of life. So we find it on like the burial shrine of King Tut, because of course they want his soul to be renewed. We find it as a symbol of renewing the earth. And then of course the cosmos. So it was used in many times, to just represent a universal type of renewal.
Which it does. Cause even as I was asking that question, I was like, yeah, dummy, like circle of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like,
you know, curtain. Sometimes they take a minute, but then they start to make connections.
Yeah.
And
life dies and decays into the ground, and so forth springs new life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The death feeds the life.
Yep.
Dynamite feeds the dynamite.
And it's not just the plants on, you know, outside in the garden. It's everything. Mm-hmm. It's everything. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are a lot of, you know, physicists that have deduced that prior to our solar system that we're in right now, there was another solar system that we came from. So the death of that solar system sprang forth ours. So,
you know, if somebody in high school had just told me, like, listen, you know, like this interest that you have in these weird, you know, monsters and things like that, you know, if you would study physics, you might just be like a little bit more apt to understand some of these concepts. I would have signed up for physics. Get on it, high school teachers.
You know, physics was one of those interesting classes. When I took it I remember taking it in high school. And I remember my high school physics teacher just kind of shaking his head, because we'd be going through, like, running our experiments, we're trying to get our proofs together. And so much of what I was doing at the beginning of those was wrong, or I'd screw it up or whatever. But by the very end, I would finally have it all together. And he just kind of looked at me, I don't know how you do it. You've got so much, as you're going along, you get so much of it wrong. But in the end, you pull it together and you actually get the right proof. Like, how are you doing that? Oh. To learn from my mistakes and come up with another idea. And there we go.
Stacked time. Listen, I know what's happening now. I get it. It's shut up, teacher guy. It's fine.
No, I think it's one of those, you know, you play around with ideas and concepts for a while. And, you know, I have it as a caveat in the introduction to a couple of my books, where I say, hey, I reserve the right to change my mind. What I know now is not the same stuff that I knew 20 years ago. And 20 years from now, I'm going to know other things. So it may change my opinion and how I view some of these different ideas and concepts. So I think we always need to be open to those ideas of, you know, of change, of that, you know, we might have a great theory right now, might actually be the wrong one, but I can take little bits of that and put it into another theory and start working on that. You know, a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with in this field is not concrete. So we have to keep that open mind and keep playing around with some of these different ideas.
Right. Which I absolutely love. Yeah.
Yes.
One of my favorite things about doing this podcast. Are we just going to keep doing that?
It's the thing with a definitive answer. Like, yeah, you might think you have the definitive answer, but listen, see what's going on, learn more, and your definitive answer might evolve a little bit in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
I almost said pass, but yeah, if you don't evolve your opinions and your knowledge, that's just an opinion. That's not knowledge.
Yeah. Then it just becomes stagnant. So, you know, what I've put together is what I know now. And as I've been on shows like this and I've talked to other people and I've been out there at different events and just chatting with others in the field, you know, I've added some more to all of that. So there are other things that just aren't in the book, where if you listen to my podcast or watch the videos or jump into the Connected Universe portal, you're going to find a lot of that other information that I've been putting together since then.
That's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast. It's one of my favorite things about conferences is, you know, I'll have an idea and this is not my sole vocation, right? Like I don't spend hours and hours in research and whatnot, but and yeah, okay, I do. But there's,
we always know you've been at the library studying everything you can about parallel universes. Come on.
Come on, you're not the only one.
I know. And then I just disappear into another time. But, you know, you have, I go in with like an idea about something and then you hear someone else with a maybe completely contrary idea to yours, but it's still expanding, right? Like, and you can think about that and build on that. And I think that that's the amazing part about the paranormal world, quite honestly, is the exchange of ideas, you know, and that's.
People are open and not totally closed to anything. Like, yeah, let's exchange ideas. Let's grow together.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I have a super, I'm a part of a program that, you know, I have this very Zen sort of mentor in it and we discuss things and I always feel, it's like you feel your brain sort of growing a little bit or firing a little bit faster after you have these conversations. That's like, well, have you thought about this? Or have you thought about this? It's different perspectives. And we would all do well to learn from them.
You guys, we are all out of time.
Boo.
Mike, will you give us all of your links, whatever you want to promote, give it to us. I'll have it all in the show notes if you don't want to listen to him talk right now.
yeah absolutely. So my primary website is mikericksecker.com. you can find links to all the books out there. I have my event schedule that's out there, and then there's also connectedUniversePortal.com. that's the community site that I've put together, like-minded people coming together discussing all these topics. It's I've got so much material back there, but I have the courses as well that are out there. Just a plethora of information. And last minute, if people really wanted to, you got a little less than a month now, they could jump onto the Egypt tour, Stargates of Ancient Egypt. That's April 16th to the 28th. We could add you if you really wanted to jump on it.
Listen, we need sponsors, but Jenny and I are all in.
All right, come along.
Yeah, we need some people to pay for our trips because right. We're saying yes to stuff.
All right. Mike, this was amazing. I think we both thank you so much for joining us. Yes. Such a great conversation. I'm all about it. Everybody else, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, whatever the stuff. And we'll see you next week. Bye.